People are here that should be here to hear what's coming forth today. 1 Corinthians 4:3-4 says this, "For if our gospel be hid, it is hid to them which are lost, in whom the God of this world has blinded the eyes of them, lest the minds of them, lest the light of the glorious gospel of Christ should shine through to them." That's about authority. Another thing here about authority is that it must be regained, but it must have been righteously regained. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians, "Since by man came death, by man came also the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all died, even so in Christ shall all be made alive." And it must have and had to be regained by a man and not an angel, because it was lost by a man. I couldn't have done it. I probably would have failed in the wilderness when he said, "All of these kingdoms, they're yours if you just bow down and worship me." You mean all of this stuff, everything you see all of the rubies and diamonds, all of the riches and the money, all of the men and the women and all of the real estate, and all of this will be under your hand if you'll just do this. There was had to be a special man to be able to meet that temptation challenge. And guess what? He said, "Sacrifice and offering thou wouldest not, but a body hast thou prepared me." It took God to come down and meet that challenge. It took God to come down and inhabit the body of a human being in order to meet that challenge. Listen, death was not God's choice. Death was man's choice. God never chose for man to die. He made it available for man to eat of the tree of life and live forever in a state of innocence. And he said, "But you get to choose." And man chose death. Hebrews 2:14 says, "As the children are partakers of flesh and blood, he also himself took part of the same, so that through death he might destroy him who had, not have, but who had the power of death, that is, the devil." Dominion or authority was always God's best for you. It was his plan and is his plan. It was his plan at the very beginning for man to have dominion and authority. Man lost it. God comes back again and he still says, "Dominion and authority is my desire for you. It's my best for you." He wants us to operate in dominion and authority in this earth today. Now, I think one reason he's not allowed us to touch upon this subject is because the subject of authority and dominion has been handled by so many different other groups, and it's really been really kind of confused. I've been confused many years by it, dominion and authority, see? And it's just been kind of hard to pick it apart and to see what was really going on. When he sent me out into the evangelistic field, my first trip was Miami. I understood that he gives us authority over all of the power of the enemy. He gives us authority to tread on serpents and scorpions. I understood that. But somehow, some way, I got off into a strange kind of an area, and he stopped my ministry out there, and he said, "That's it, no more." You want to know why? Because my family, my wife, my small children were there. And if I was not going to be obedient to him, me and my children and my wife were subject to the attacks of the enemy on an unprecedented scale. Because if I'm going to, listen, you don't go into a man's yard and slap him and not expect him to slap you back or push you out his yard. And that's what we do, in a sense. And that's what I was doing. But there were some areas in teaching that wasn't solid enough. So he stopped me and he sent me over to the Haven of Rest to teach me how to preach and to teach me how to study his word. I got there in 1995 and stayed till around 2005, teaching me, learning how to preach, studying the Bible, learning about him placing me on a more solid foundation than what I was on, because I was using some of the stuff I heard, and some of it was full of holes. It was not all biblical. It was going back and claiming, let's say for instance, claiming all of the blessings of Abraham. Well, why are you going back there when you've got the blessings of Jesus Christ right here? He's so much better and so much more. He said, Abraham desired to see my day, and he saw it and was glad. But you got some will say, well, I claim the blessings of Abraham. He was rich. I'm going to be rich. Well, wait a minute. Why do I need this? Bible says to love not the world. But yet I'm claiming the blessings of Abraham so I can have and I can get. No, no, wrong focus. Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and these things will be added to you. Is what the Bible says. So that makes it so much different. It makes it so much easier because God himself will be doing it. Colossians 2:13 says, and you, being dead in your sins and the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened, that is, made alive, has he quickened together with him, talking about Jesus, having forgiven you all trespasses or all of your sins, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, took it out of the way, and he nailed it to his cross. And having spoiled, Jesus did, having spoiled principalities and powers, he made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. That is, he triumphed over them in the cross. Ephesians 6 says, for we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. These are our opponents. Our opponents are spiritual. Thank God he gave us authority in that area. He gave us authority in that area. When it says in Colossians that he spoiled principalities, that's the word stripped. He stripped, like stripping the hide from an animal. I know you've seen some military picture where some high-ranking officer was stripped of his different patches and his medals, and one would go and would tear this thing off of him, and he would tear this part of his. You've seen that, and tear off the sleeves and tear off the shoulders and tear all of these things off of him. He's being stripped of his authority. And in the same manner is how Jesus did to Satan. He stripped him. He spoiled him. He stripped him. He spoiled principalities and powers. The Bible says he made a show of them openly. That means that in the spirit world, no one over there is ignorant about the triumph that Jesus accomplished on the cross. And as a matter of fact, they are so aware of the name of Jesus, and they are so aware of the power of Jesus. We have not been aware of the power of Jesus. He said, I give you power over all of the power of the enemy. That is authority. Authority. That means you can take authority over any kind of evil spiritual calamity that's going on. Evil spiritual. Now, you're not going to talk to the wind and make the wind stop blowing. That was Adam's dominion, the first Adam. You are in the second Adam. You're in the last man. You're not going to speak to the bugs and command them not to bite. That was in the first Adam's authority. You got to recognize where our authority is. That's where we get confused, because we think we can speak to the runaway car. I command you to stop. Well, you better get on the side of the road when you do that, just in case you got it wrong, because I command you to stop. Boom! And then they told me that I have this authority. I wonder why it doesn't work. Because you don't have that authority. He did not give us that authority. They got brakes to make the car stop. Brakes. Amen? Okay. So we need to make sure. The authority that we have, it must be strongly enforced and strategically exercised. Strongly enforced. Strongly enforced. You know, not timidly, but strongly enforced. The person who does this has to be right. Your life has to be upright. Your life has to be right if you're going to move into this area. You must be quick to confess your sins. And you must have a non-rebellious spirit about you. That's necessary if you're going to move in this area. Because spiritually, your enemy recognizes if he's got ground in your life. Now, if there's ground there, then you need to wait before you start moving. And it's time and get that thing straight. How hard is it? How hard is it to agree with God about yourself? God, that was sin. Yeah, I know it was. Lord, I'm sorry. Forgive me. I go do what I said to you. Yes, Lord. How hard is that? Unless you're just stubborn and rebellious. And I'm going to do what I want to do anyway. Don't do it then. Remember the sons of Sceva. They took upon themselves to call over those that had unclean spirits the name of Jesus. Now here's a good example of folks that had no business dealing with evil spirits. And the man in whom the evil spirits said, well, Paul we know, and the man called his name, and he said, and Jesus we know, but who are you? And say, they jumped on these seven men, and it was one man, and beat them, and ran them off naked and bruised. That's what you got coming if you step in spiritual areas and your life is not right. Those demons will recognize it, and it will embarrass you publicly, but that shouldn't be so. It doesn't have to be so. Before I come up, I say, Lord, forgive me. I'm sorry, Lord. Please help me. Please help me, Lord. I might not even think I did anything. I had to have done something sometime during the day. It's just the way that is, you see. I know I'm not wholly blameless. I'm blameless before Him, but I know as I walk through this earth, something got through my eye gate. Something got through my ear gate. Something happened in my body. Something I saw kind of got me going there. So, God, please help me. I'm just a man. You know my frame, Lord. You know I'm dust. Forgive me, Lord. Help me. That's the attitude, saints. Oh, did I say saints? Yes, I did. Because that's what you are. You are saints of the Most High God. Well, I don't feel like it. Thank God He didn't say you had to feel like it. It's what He says about you. You are saints of the Most High God. And so your life must be right. Enforcement should come from the correct position. You must understand who and where you are as a Christian and speak from that position. And this is that position. Ephesians 2:6 says that God has raised us up together and made us sit together in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. That's the position from which we exert our authority. We've got to know this and understand that where He is and as He is, so are we in this world today. Where He is, we are. When He was buried, we was buried. When He was raised, we was raised. When He ascended, we ascended. And then He gave us His name as the authority to perform His work. Now this, you find this very exciting when you first see it operate. You find it very exciting when you first see it operate. I did. As an evangelist, it's fun. It's fun to say, devil, shut up. Devil, stop. Come out. Ah! That part kind of scary sometimes. But it's there. You've got the authority. You got it, saints. Romans 6, 3, 4 says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into His death? Therefore we are buried with Him by baptism into death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. We should walk in newness of life. Not according to the old life that we knew, but in newness of life. And only you can walk in newness of life if you belong to Jesus. Those that don't belong to Him can't walk in newness of life. Only you can walk in newness of life. We must use the right power. The right power. Not my personal power. Not my personal mental acumen, my personal mental strength, not my ability to persuade or manipulate. Wrong power. You're going to use it against people. You're going to manipulate a person. And then you then don't dare say in Jesus' name, don't do that, because it's not his power. It's got to be the right power. Authority must be heavenward practiced. It must be a heavenly practice, heavenward. And our prayers should not be from earth to heaven, but from heaven to earth, because we are seated together with him in heavenly places. And so the prayer that starts in heaven ends in heaven. So, Lord, what do I pray? Should be your prayer. When you start praying, what do I pray, Lord? How do I pray? What is your heart in this area, Lord? Please show me what to do. It should start in heaven. You're there. You're there with him. We must learn to live positionally heavenward with him. Positionally heavenly and heavenward with him. Colossians 3, 1 through 3 says, if ye then be risen with Christ, it says to seek those things which are above, where Christ sitteth on the right hand of God. Set your affections and your desires and your goals on things above and not on things on the earth. For ye are dead and your life is hid with Christ in God. Here's the direction. Be heavenly minded. Be heavenly affections. Set your affections. And then I backed it up to Colossians 2, that was 3, and Colossians 2, 8 says, beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain or puffed up or prideful deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of this world or this ordered arrangement, the way things are ordered, through the logic of this world, through the logic of life. It says, be careful lest any man spoil you with this, and not after Christ. Here we must be careful that our prayers and petitions are according to the will of God and not our own will or the will of someone else. According to the will of God and not our own will or the will of someone else. Racial philosophy or tradition is very, very dangerous. Very dangerous to this practice. This is not a racial movement. It's a totally new creature and creation movement like no other that man has ever seen. When you find a Christian that's racially motivated, when you find a church that's all something this and all something that with no desire for another that's not the way that they are, my friend, they are operating in the first Adam, in the old creation. Don't expect the Spirit of God to come in there in any kind of way. He does not operate in that area. I remember now, I think you're white. Yeah, I think Brother Bob. See, I don't remember this kind of stuff. That's my brother. Period. And folks, you know, when I was going out on Highway 20, I was talking to a black woman. And she said, well, when are you going to church now? I said, oh, I'm on Highway 20, Bible Believers Fellowship. She said, where? I said, on Highway 20. She said, Highway 20? I said, yeah. She said, glad to hear from you. I said, well, that's good. She said, no, you didn't hear me. It's good to hear from you. So what she was saying was, you taking your life in your hand on Highway 20. Boy, I couldn't think of a better place to be than a place like that where my life is in peril for fellowshipping with God's people. Do you hear me? Absent from the body, y'all, is to be present with the Lord. And what makes it so great or so bad or whatever is that I was doing the sign out there on Highway 20, standing up fixing the sign, and you, vroom, vroom. So I was a target. Y'all, there's a target. And one night, somebody came and shot the sign up. Found it full of holes. That kind of shook me a little bit. But I say, well, Lord, if I got to go, I might as well be putting your message up here. And that particular day, when the cars would go by, I would kind of cringe a little bit. Boom. 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 What? Still here. And still hopefully being a blessing. See? The authority of the believer. 1 John 1:2 and 14, the Bible says, love not the world. That, again, is the cosmos. That's the orderly arrangement, its decorations, all of these flashy things that can get your attention. Don't love these things. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the Bible says the love of the Father is not in him. Now, we need the things of the world. We need food. We need clothing. We need a shelter. But we don't. It's okay to have these things as long as these things don't have you. There's a difference there. It says, for all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. Not of the Father, but is of the world. So if your aspirations are riches, are the riches of this world, money, fame, if it's fortune, which our verse clearly tell us, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And you obtain riches, and you obtain the money, you obtain the fortune, and you obtain the fame. The question is this, did our Father God give you these things, or did another God grant them? God of this world. The God of this world. And that word for world is not cosmos, it's aeon. It's the God of this age. It's the big kahuna with the power, the God of this age. Or would it have been the rulers of the darkness of this world? See, people sometimes push past what God wants. They'll redefine the will of God and then say, it's the will of God that I have this. It's the will of God that I have this. When clearly the Bible says it is not God's will for you to have this in such abundance. Or it's not God's will for you to go at it in the manner that you go. And then you push anyway, and you push hard work and sacrifice, and you get it, and have the nerve to say that God gave me this, and it's his will that I have it, and it's his will for you to have what he gave me too. And put the name of Jesus behind that. When why would God sign something that he's clearly said, this is not for you? There's some God in operation somewhere along with your God. How else are these folks getting their wishes granted? The rest say I. How are they performing these powerful things if the God of heaven is not giving it to them? There's a God of this world. And he will sneak in. Even Satan himself said, listen, Lord, I'll give you all this. All you gotta do is just worship me as God. Just worship me. Worship me. And Revelation talks about the signs and the wonders that will be performed in the book by those evil spirits and by the Antichrist. They have miracles that they will perform. They'll be calling down fire from heaven. They'll be performing many miraculous things. And it will be an unholy performance. Jesus clearly defined his call and purpose in Luke 4:18. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal or to cure the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives and recovery of sight to the blind, and to set at liberty them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. The acceptable year of the Lord's supreme authority. That's what Jesus came to do. He came to give the poor and the bankrupt good news. He came to heal those who were bound, the brokenhearted. He came to release the prisoners and captives of Satan and restore sight to the blind. Tell me that since you received Christ, that you have an experience of freedom like you didn't have before. You know you have, haven't you? You know that that burden, whatever that was lifted off of your back, don't you? You know that you can see now. You know that your heart is not broken. Things happen in the world, but thank God he gives you peace in the midst of it. Tell me that he hasn't done a mighty work in your life. Yes, he has. And we know he has. But without him, where would you and I be today? Dead for me. Dead for me. I know the way I was going. If not dead, crazy or something else, no good, no something. I know. Thank God for Jesus. Now, here are a few examples of exercise authority, and I'm going to give these, and I know y'all forgive me, I'm running a little late, but we got to finish this. If y'all know when I get up here, some examples of exercise authority. And what I'm trying to say is, don't be bound by the examples you see, because God be God, he can do a whole lot more than just what we read about. The lunatic boy. This is the one that was thrown into the water and thrown into the fire. His dad said, you know, this spirit, this is my only son. Please help me. He's a lunatic. The spirit takes him and he screams out. And sometimes he's thrown into the water. And can you imagine how afraid it is for your child to be just walking by and just thrown into the fire? That would frighten me. But my child is thrown into some deep water. I can't relax because that spirit is driving him. And the Bible says that Jesus rebuked that spirit, that devil, and he came out of that child. Just an example. How about the demoniac in the synagogue? When Jesus was speaking, this man with the demon spoke out and said, what have we to do with thee, Jesus of Nazareth, thou Son of God? We know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Have thou come here to torment us before the time? That was a demon spirit speaking through that man when Jesus got up to speak. He recognized the Lord. And Jesus said, hold your peace and come out of him. And he came out of that man. Examples of authority. How about, he says this, whoever sins that you forgive are forgiven, whosoever sins you retain are retained. That's the power and authority that he gives us. That means we can bring men to the altar of God. We can bring men to the Lord Jesus Christ, and their sins can be forgiven. He says to preach the gospel of the kingdom of God. That is a ministry to man. That is the authority that we have. No man can preach the gospel but one who is called of God. And I know you've heard some preachers, so-called preachers, preaching. You know that boy didn't have nothing and he wasn't saved, didn't you? You ever heard some of these guys that just hurt your head and make your stomach start hurting? To hear them trying to, so, you know, the preacher's like, Lord, please help me. Get out of here. I don't want to hear this. But a man that's called of God, it's riveting. It's riveting. Because the Spirit of God is there. And the Spirit of God is speaking. And you know it. Why? Because your spirit is giving witness to the Spirit of God. That's your part that you play in. How about the 2,000 swine that we studied? You know what they did with this man that had these spirits? When the Lord allowed them, folks say that Jesus sent the spirits into the swine, but that's not how it went at all. When they began to speak to Jesus, he said, well, we hope you don't throw us into abyss. He said, hey, how about this, Lord, if you will, let us go into the swine. And he said, well, go. That's how that went. And they left the man, and the swine ran violently down the hill and was choked in the water. It was a suicide spirit, you know. This man was doing stuff to himself and doing, you know, harmful things, and it was a spirit of suicide. Those hogs, which were cursed of God anyway, rather than live with those spirits, they killed themselves in the water. They didn't last. But thank God after that, they found that man clothed. He had clothes on again, and he was in his right mind because of the authority, the kingdom authority, and the operation of the kingdom authority. Guess what? You got that. You've got that. How about the Syrophoenician woman that had the daughter that was vexed with the devil? And Jesus said, hey, it's not good that we give the children's bread to dogs. How about that? He said dog. He called a dog. But she humbled herself. She says, true Lord, lest the dogs eat the crumbs that fall from the children's table. He said, go your way. The devil is going out of your daughter. That's humility. He resists the proud. But he gives grace to the humble. He gives grace to the humble. Authority must be appropriated. I've got a couple more points. It must be appropriated. You say, well, I thought we got to. Yes, you have authority, but it must be appropriated. Satan's not going to let anything go. You've got to go and say, you've got to let this thing go. And during budget time, and you might know about budget time, you might have $100,000 available, and in your budget, you've got $10,000 that you can get. But you can't use that $10,000 until you appropriate it, until you go in and fill the paperwork out to say, I'm claiming that $10,000 to work in our area. And so you are now appropriating the $10,000 that is available in the entire budget. The resources are there, but we must learn to appropriate what God has given us. John 19:30 says, "It is finished." Remember on the cross, he said, "It is finished." What is that? You know, in olden time, when a man would be accused of a crime, they would take him before the judge and say, "Okay, what is this man's crime?" They tell him what it is, and they write it out on the paper. They say, "Well, this is what you need to do. Spend so much time in jail." They lock him up, and they would nail that to the door of that jail. And that these are the crimes, and he's got to do this until this time. And when he's done his time and comes out, the judge say, "Has he finished his service? Has he done what he was supposed to do?" And say, "Yes, he has." And then the judge would write on that paper, "Tetelestai. It is finished. Paid in full." When Jesus was on the cross and he suffered on that cross for that long time, and he suffered and bled and died at the very end, he said, "Tetelestai. Paid in full. It is finished. Paid in full." And then after that, when they saw him, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and earth." He said, "All authority is given unto me in heaven and earth." Power, dunamis. Power, exousia. We have dunamis and we have exousia. We have authority to speak. We have authority over unclean spirits. We have authority, and you have authority in your home. You start taking authority over those evil influences in your home. You start taking authority, and I mean, don't jump up and make a big scene about it, because they'll make a big scene, right? But you take authority over it, and you say, "I command this, Lord, if this is an evil spirit, I take authority, and I command that it will stop now in the authority of your name, Jesus. In Jesus' name, this thing will stop." And we have kingdom authority over Satan's kingdom, over every evil influence. He gives us power over serpents and scorpions and over all of the power of the enemy. And he says, "Nothing shall by any means hurt you." And he said this as I close in Acts chapter 1. He said to the disciples, "Ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you." And that power is dunamis. "And ye shall be witnesses unto me in Jerusalem and Samaria, the uttermost parts of the earth." Witnesses is the word martyr. You shall be martyrs to me. Scary word. But martyrs how? You think that he wants us to die a physical death per se. We may have to, but how about living? Because he said here, if you lose your life for my sake, you'll find it. He said to deny yourself and take up your cross and follow me. The best martyr that you can be is one who is self-sacrificing, selfless, and totally dedicated to the Lord Jesus Christ. Given over to his control, given over to his directives, and given over to his word. It will be a fight, of course, because there are parts of us that don't want it. But that's in our flesh man, and that fellow has got to die. Amen?
Amen?
But remember, we have authority over the devil, his kingdom, all of the power of the enemy. We wrestle not against flesh and blood, but principalities and powers, the rulers of the darkness of this world, and spiritual wickedness in high places. In Jesus' name. Father, thank you for this word today. Thank you, Lord, for allowing us to move now into this new area, which is not new, but for us it's new. Father, Sister Stephanie leaves, I pray, Lord, that she'll take this with her, that she'll recognize, and that this thing will be planted so deep in her spirit that she'll remember the authority that she has in you. And may it go with her, and may she learn, Lord, how to move and operate in this area that you've given us. We thank you for blessing us, and I thank you, Lord, for the patience and the peace which you've given me to
deliver this message. In Jesus' mighty name, amen. God bless you. Thank you for your attention.